plays it into Trey. 2 seconds wide. Trey Slaughter.
Hello and welcome to the Y'all Rookie Podcast. Today is June 30th, 2022, and I am your host, William Harris, aka William is Bill. Great to be back with you on another day of the Y'all Rookie Podcast. Today, we have a great episode, one of my favorites. I always have this guest on because I have my main man, Brad Harden / Brad Jarrett of Sports Ethos Hawks joining me today. What's up, Brad? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. It's been a whirlwind of a day here in Atlanta, as you can probably see on Twitter. But I don't want to, you know, forecast too much in this preview. I'm gonna let you do that. But I am doing well down here in the A.
It's definitely been an incredible day if you're a Hawks fan, and a very interesting day if you're a Spurs fan. Well, tell everyone before we get started where they can find your pod or check you out on Twitter.
So the podcast is available on all platforms out there. Sports Ethos, Atlanta Hawks, your coverage for the Atlanta Hawks, one of the hottest new podcasts covering your Hawks. Follow me on Twitter at BradJarrett67. That is Brad, J-A-R-R-E-T-T 67. And then follow our show on Twitter as well at Ethos Hawks on Twitter at Ethos Hawks. We're going to be talking some Hawks this episode. Spoiler alert right there.
For sure, and what better team to talk about? They drafted some exciting rookies and made the biggest trade of the year so far. What would you like to talk about first, your draft picks or the big trade of today?
I want to make people wait for the trade. You know, that's okay. That's probably what they were expecting from me. Let's give these rookies some love before we jump into the trade.
Let's do it. So the Hawks had the 16th pick in the draft, and they ended up selecting AJ Griffin from Duke. And with the 51st pick in the draft, they selected Tyrese Martin from UConn. Let's start with AJ Griffin. How do you feel about the pick? Do you feel like the right guy fell into place, or you should have traded up, or how do you feel about the pick?
Now, you know my affinity for Obagi from KU, who did go, I want to say, a pick or two before the Hawks could get him going to Cleveland, and Cleveland continues to just load up on talent. I mean, that's scary roster up there in the land. But AJ Griffin, and we talked about it, was not supposed to fall to 16. He was probably in that range, 7 to 14 maybe?
Yeah.
So I was not expecting AJ Griffin. Obviously, I support Duke, so I did watch Duke games. But I didn't really dive deep into him this offseason because I didn't think it was a possibility. And with Obagi gone, and then the rumors coming around about the Hawks are interested in AJ Griffin, you know, it piqued my interest. And I'm like, another wing player, not great defensively, but has instincts. It could improve on that end. The 3-point shooting is what his jump shooting jumps off, you know, tape. I mean, you saw the tape, I saw the tape. His jump shooting is just elite, especially for the college ranks. And to add that element to this team, who it's pretty hot and cold. Atlanta's pretty hot and cold from three-point range. There are games where they're going to hit 14, 15, 16 threes, and there's games where they hit 4 all game, and it's a struggle. So to add a piece in the and this is if Nate McMillan plays him, we always say, if Nate plays him, this is going to be good. Because I have some comps. I'm curious because I wanted to bring these out. I got the comps right here. So I've been seeing these comps for AJ Griffin. Physically, and you guys, I mean, 6'6", 220, so built. Physically, they compared him as far as his strength and the potential in the mid-range to Jimmy Butler. But I've seen – here's the people that I've seen. I've seen Robert Covington. I've seen Sadiq Bey. And I see a bigger version of Gary Trent. That's who I see when I see AJ Griffin. Now, I'm going to kick it to you about that with the comps and then talk a little bit more about what I like about him. But I'm curious, you know, you the master about as far as rookies. What do you think about those comps?
They're very interesting. You know, when I watched tape of AJ, I did not see a direct correlation to another player. You know, I tried, but I didn't see it. And a lot of people say in high school, he was a different player than he was at Duke. More athletic, more than just a spot-up shooter, can create his own shot, and that he was coming off of a slight injury, and that's why we didn't see the full AJ Griffin at Duke. We saw more of the safe AJ Griffin. So if he has more to his game than what he showed at Duke, that could be scary for y'all. I mean, and like you said, with the three-point shooting, y'all need it. He shot 45% from three. That makes him the best shooter in this class. So if you got the best shooter in the draft and his potential for athleticism is even higher than what he showed at Duke, it's a true steal. I had him in my last mock going 11th. So to get that at 16, that's incredible value. The only thing you have to worry about is, like they said, that injury before the season at Duke. Have you heard anything about that? Could that be a reason why he fell a little bit in this draft?
So upon press conferences, it was not mentioned from ownership here in Atlanta. They weren't really concerned. They did their due diligence as they do with all their players, and they didn't see a concern as far as the injuries. And I saw the same narratives that you saw, too, that he was a little bit more explosive in high school. But that shooting and that spacing, you know, for him to be 6'6 with a 7-foot wingspan and his potential on the defensive end with that frame and his strength already is very, very intriguing, especially what we talk about a little later in this program with him coming off the bench and having a lineup where he's next to Bogey or a guy who we traded for today, who I'm not going to, you know, spoiler alert, if we do bring back DeLon Wright, another floor spacer in that lineup who can shoot the three is going to really help this Hawks team, especially in spells where Trae Young needs to get spelled and jump shooting and three-point shooting is going to come at a premium for this Hawks team. And he's the guy that could fill that void. So I'm really excited to see how we utilize him, if we utilize him. I hate saying if because we already know the narrative of Nate McMillan not playing rookies. You got on me. You're like, come on, man. Why Jalen Johnson ain't playing? I'm like, man, I don't know. You got to call Nate. You got to call Nate. I don't have his number, but I'll hook you up.
Yeah, we gotta get a connection from Brad straight to Nate because, yeah, I was so mad last year.
A lot of Hawks fans were too. You don't know how many times I see just on Twitter just people just dragging Nate McMillan. Why isn't Jalen Johnson out there? And the funny thing was the athletic potential, obviously, of Jalen Johnson is intangibles. More people were upset that Sharif Cooper wasn't playing.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, where's Sharif? Where's Sharif? Is he traveling this week? Why is he not active? Oh, he's in College Park. Like, that was just an ongoing soap opera week to week as far as will we see Sharif Cooper? And, I mean, they did tender him, so he's supposed to come back. But I hope that's not the case this year, especially with AJ Griffin. And I hope Jalen Johnson does get more clock. But to have those Duke boys with their obviously more athleticism for Johnson, but just the IQ and the spacing of Griffin, I think it could be really nice pieces, you know, later on. And if we can get them some clock, who knows down the stretch what they'll look like and how they can truly help this Hawks team battle for a playing spot and beyond as far as playoffs.
Yeah, you know, I do believe AJ Griffin will sneak into the lineup this year as opposed to the guys last year because that shooting is so needed. You know, if you would have drafted just about anybody else, maybe Ochai and AJ were probably the only two players you could have drafted that probably will get some minutes on this team because the team is deep, but that three-point shooting is very necessary. So I think he'll get on the court, you know. We'll see what you do with John Collins. We're still hoping for Jalen Johnson on the court. And we know you guys love Sharif Cooper in the A. How do you feel about Tyrese Martin? You select him at 51. You know, now I don't expect him to get minutes being drafted so late, but how do you feel about Tyrese Martin from UConn?
I mean, he has potential. I mean, for him being 6'6", 215, That's already a pretty good frame. One comp that I did see from this guy, and I feel like I can get away with this because I don't know if you watch as much film on Tyrese Martin. I mean, I watched a little. I'm not going to act like I watched a lot. But one comp is Amir Coffey, who is a solid player, bench contributor, can fill in here and there as far as for that Clippers lineup, and called for them to do that with the injuries last year. But one great thing about Tyrese Martin that does kind of scare people was, which is funny to say this, he improved from three-point range. He improved to 43% from three last year. But some people are like, that improvement, is it a fluke? Is it real? Which is, I mean, it's a viable question. But as far as for a prospect, I'm not going to question that at all. I mean, you improve your three-point shooting at 6'6", 215. That's great. He's a vertical leaper, 39-inch vertical, really good rebounder as a guard, has a nice post-up game, has a good motor, can defend, great off the ball. Not an elite ball handler, but and he can struggle scoring in traffic, so that's something that he'll have to improve, and can struggle defensively as far as with lateral quickness defending smaller guards. But certainly a nice prospect, and heck, we've seen people use their G League teams to truly develop players and bring them up and develop confidence. And let's see what they turn out to. He's another guy that, let's see what happens. I mean, put him alongside Skylar Mays and Sharif Cooper in College Park, and let's see what he turns into. I think the bare bones of what he can be a pretty solid NBA player as far as off the bench and contribute here and there. And even if that's what you get in the second round, I'm not going to complain about that. I know a lot of people complain about trading back and getting him and then just getting $2 million cash that we can't use from the Warriors. So people are going to complain about the trade. But the prospect itself, I mean, I like the frame. I like his potential. He can play the two guard or the three. And let's see if we can develop him. That's something that we need to do better at as player development here in Atlanta. And if we have a plan for him, he could potentially see the court probably in about a year or two, maybe three, with some time in College Park.
Yeah, I think he'll be a perfect prospect for College Park. You know, he put up some great games at UConn. So,
yes,
that's worthy of the 51st pick for sure. You know, so overall, how'd you feel about your squad coming out of the draft going into the season?
I like the picks. I like the potential for, as you said, for AJ Griffin to sneak into the lineup, Nate. I like the potential for him to sneak into the lineup, really add some three-point shooting. And a lot of one thing that Landry Fields, who is now promoted to assistant GM here in Atlanta, he really says that he's underrated at putting the ball on the floor. And that's something that I'm going to be looking at, too. He has the ability to put the ball on the floor, get into that mid-range on top of just not just being a catch-and-shoot guy. Who knows? And, obviously, one of the things that he was obviously grilled about, everyone's been asking about AJ Griffin, is that, hey, we know you're not the greatest on defense. I think because of his NBA pedigree, his dad being a coach, didn't want to ring with the Raptors. His dad had a decent playing career bouncing around to a few teams here and there. He wants to improve that lateral foot speed and get better on the defensive end. If he's a guy that knows that he needs to get better at that and he already has the shooting that he does, that's a pretty good building block to start off from. And then having a prospect in Martin in the second round with the – I'm not going to say embarrassment of riches, but just the prospects we have in College Park could potentially brew something. If not immediately, competition breeds, you know, confidence, and just gonna, it's going to make everybody else better, especially a hard-nosed guy coming from the Northeast, started at Rhode Island, went to UConn. Both programs put out tough, hard-nosed players. We need more of that in our locker room here in Atlanta. So I like the draft. I thought we had a good draft. I thought we had a good draft last year. We still had a good draft last year, but it's just, can we see him on the court? That's all we want to know here in Atlanta.
And if I had to make a comparison for AJ Griffin, I think I would throw out Chris Middleton. How do you feel about that?
I like it. I mean, I see it. I really do. Especially some of the film I've seen him in the mid-range, be able to create space and get that shot off in the mid range, especially. I mean, I didn't watch any highlights of him in high school. I heard about the athleticism in the lift that we did not necessarily see at Duke. Chris Middleton doesn't necessarily have that. But to be 6'6 with a 7-foot wingspan, you can get your shot off over some defenders who try to check you in the mid-range and from three. So if he turns out to be a Chris Middleton, I think how Chris Middleton did us in the Eastern Conference Finals, going to the NBA Finals last year, I don't think Hawks fans will complain about that.
Right. And Chris Middleton was undrafted, I believe. So, you know, it's more than possible that AJ Griffin should be in that caliber at least. So, but moving on, speaking about the draft overall, is there a team that you think had the best draft overall? If you can't think of any teams right now, three come to the top of my mind: the Pistons, the Spurs, the Rockets. But there were a lot of teams that hit it out of the park. Who do you think had the best draft?
You mentioned two of them. I think the Rockets and the Pistons had really good drafts. I think they had really good drafts there. And I will even say Oklahoma City had a pretty good draft as well. I think the Pistons definitely took a step forward. I think they're still probably about 2 years. They could surprise us. You know, they could be the Cavaliers and surprise us and pop up and contend for a play-in spot. Not next season, but the year after. But I think they're heading in the right direction. Now, I thought the direction was to potentially, we talked about on the live show, to get these young players and go get Aiden. But obviously, we've seen the trade with the Knicks, and they're just going to absorb contracts at this point, which is fine. I'm not going to complain. But Durant, Jalen Duran and Ivy, that's going to be nasty. To go along with Cade Cunningham, that's going to be pretty nasty. Yeah. I cannot wait to see. I mean, even though I'm a Hawks guy covering the team, and I know you, the Hornets, I mean, when the Pistons roll up in the town or League Pass or wherever your local broadcast is, if your team is playing the Pistons, it's going to be must-watch TV. That's going to be a League Pass team for people to watch for sure.
Yeah, they definitely sped up their reloading process, you know, in 1 year. And, you know, obviously with Cade, Sadiq Bey, they're coming into being a
Isaiah Stewart. Isaiah Stewart.
That front court with him and Durant. They even got Procida in the second round. So he was thought of highly by a lot of people. So, yeah, and, you know, you did allude to the live show we did. If you didn't hear, me and Brad, along with a couple other people from Sports Ethos, covered the draft live. If you want to catch the recap of it, check out Sports Ethos YouTube page. It was a great fun time. Always love being on with Brad. Now, for the topic of the day, topic of the month, probably topic of the year for the Hawks. They made a huge trade out of nowhere with the Spurs, and they have acquired DeJounte Murray. What did they send back? Is John Collins gone? Is Trae Young gone? No, nobody's gone except Danilo Gallinari and three first-round picks. Brad, when I heard the news, I immediately got on Twitter and said, I got to talk to you today about this trade. How do you feel about this trade?
Well, it was kind of a tease yesterday because the reports and the rumors coming out was, it's going to be John Collins in first-round picks. Yeah. We all expected it was going to be John Collins. It's going to be John Collins. There was a late development yesterday. It was like, wait a minute. There's a change in the tides. They said Gallinari in three first-round picks. I said, I spit my water out at once. I did. I said Gallinari? Smack that button. I'm like, smack that button right now. Right now, because if we didn't trade Gallinari by 5 p.m. Eastern today, that contract would have been guaranteed on our books. And if for a lot of people who do not know, he's guaranteed, I think, 21 or 22 mil, I want to say, this upcoming season. I think it's 22 mil. Someone can fact check me. But regardless, the money he's going to be getting for the defensive liability, I love the scoring that he provided off the bench for us. He can go get his own shot, shoot over some defenders, and his savvy as a vet. But come on, 22 mil for bad knees. No offense, Gallo. I love you, man. I love you. But it was time to move on. So when they switched to that, I was like, man, like, if we did that, that's a steal. And then the news came out, well, the Spurs won 4 first-round picks. I'm like, oh, man, they don't want to trade Murray.
Right.
And then late in the midnight hour, you know, he turned it around. And next, you know, I get that notification while I'm at work. And I was not productive for the rest of the day at all. Because my Twitter was blowing up to see Murray coming to Atlanta in exchange for Gallinari and 3 first-round picks. That's just – and to give people context, the Spurs get – Charlotte's 2023 first-round pick, top 16 protected, an unprotected 2025 first-round pick, unprotected 2026 first-round pick swap, and an unprotected 2027 first-round pick. So they definitely got a haul. Their future is intact, probably in the sweepstakes to get the big guy out of France next year.
Wembanyama.
It's all signs pointing in that. But – to give up that, to get Murray and improve our – can't complain. Cannot complain.
Definitely, definitely. How do you think DeJounte will pair with Trae Young? A lot of people are concerned about your defense, your size, but how do you think they'll compare? Because offensively, we know it won't be a problem.
Offense has never been a problem for Atlanta. Defense has. They have been mid-20s. In defensive rating, you know, this year they were a little bit better last year, but they've definitely taken a step back. You can attribute that to injuries, whatever you want to call it. But defensively, the Hawks do get better with Murray. Murray last year, on top of being the primary ball handler and the engine of the offense for the Spurs, he had the task of guarding the best player on the other team last year, the best perimeter ball handler for the other team. And to get a guy who was a steals champion, he's 6'4", has long arms, relentless on the defensive end, disruptive, great at the point of attack, which the Hawks defense has lacked the last few years as far as, especially in the backcourt, point of attack assignments. I expect him to take on the best ball handler for the other team, and that's going to help out defensively DeAndre Hunter. It's going to help out if we do bring back DeLon Wright. It's going to help hide Trae Young a little bit more. And then you add another ball handler who can score, create, finish in traffic, give Trae Young some spells and stretches as far as playmaking duties, give some off-ball opportunities for Trae Young, give off-ball opportunities for Bogey, catch-and-shoot opportunities. I think he opens up our offense more, gives us more opportunity for others to shine because he's close to a triple-double guy last year. If you look at his numbers, he averaged 21 points per game, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists. His rebounding is going to be crucial. His ability to create for others when Trae Young is on and off the court is going to be great. His defense. So I think it's a home run trade and a necessary trade the Hawks need to make. And to keep, and you mentioned, to keep John Collins and still have that ability to trade him whenever we do trade him this offseason, pair him with a Herder or someone else. Another star may be coming to Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta is done yet. I don't think they are. So I love the trade. This is what Hawks Twitter has been wanting since the rumors have been put out. And right now they're celebrating as if the Falcons won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They have not, because I'm a Saints fan, and I'm not going to even get there right now.
Yeah, but we don't go there.
I don't want to make y'all mad. Celebrate this day. Y'all know who my allegiance are, but that's how they're celebrating right now on Twitter.
Right, and, you know, it's a lot of talk. Like I said, is it going to work? But, you know, in Utah, their lineup is small, too, with, you know, Spider Mitchell and Mike Conley, their smaller lineup. So you guys will be bigger than them. But as far as fantasy, guys that are coming up in fantasy, they are a little depressed because they feel Trey's value is going down and DeJounte's going down. Do you think for all those fantasy players out there, they will take a big hit? Because I think DeJounte might have been top 10, top 15 last year.
He's definitely top 15
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, so what do you think?
I think they're both must drafts. That's better than what you could say before. I mean, when you looked at the Hawks roster, Trae Young, must draft, obviously. Capella, must draft, especially if you need a big. John Collins was a must draft, but his usage went down. So his value wasn't as high. And then outside of those three guys, I mean, you couldn't really trust Bogey because of injury. You didn't know where Herder was going to be in the lineup. Hunter, injuries as well. not a lot of guys you can really trust on this Hawks team outside of Trae Young and Capella last year. I think you can trust Murray. I think he's going to still get his – he's not going to have the crazy assist numbers that he had last year. I think he's still going to provide value with steals. I think he's still going to rebound. I think he's still going to score. I think efficiency is going to improve for both of them.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to cut down turnovers. And hopefully off-ball opportunities could lead to more made three-pointers for Trae Young. So there's potential there that, hey, those two guys you still definitely draft. We don't know what's going to happen with Capella or John Collins as far as fantasy goes. So those are the two for sure players right now that I can say go and draft for the Hawks right now, because we don't know where Collins is going to end up. He's probably going to be out of an Atlanta Hawks uniform. We don't know where Capella is going to end up either, because he's been mentioned in connection with a DeAndre Ayton trade. And who knows? I don't know where Collins is going to go, but there's still some things to figure out. But another move is going to be made. But if you're making fantasy moves right now, it's really early. I mean, free agency hasn't started, so you're just really above and beyond right now if you're planning. But Trae Young and DeJounte Murray are must-drafts for the Hawks.
Yeah, and Trey Murphy's, like you said about efficiency, you know, his field goal percentage might go up because, you know, now they have another threat beside him. You know, they kind of respected Bogey, kind of respect Hunter, but they're not fearing them. Now you can't leave DeJounte Murray at any point because you never know. If he doesn't get a shot, he's going to get the assist. So before we get out of here, you kind of alluded to it a little bit about the Hawks' future. I was going to say, are there any more moves to be made? And you seem to think there are. Could you guys stand pat with John Collins, or do you think it's just too late? He's out the door.
I would love to stand pat with John Collins personally. I've said that on Twitter that, hey, if we can keep him, I would love to keep him. But we have to utilize him efficiently. We have to use him. His usage went down last year and was still second on the team in points per game, I think, or third. Regardless, and he was second in rebounds on the team behind Clint Capella. So when he's on the court, he's efficient. He's there. He's a 40% three-point shooter. Who would not want that from their four?
Right.
But we just do not use him. I don't know. Nate, give me a number, Nate. I need to talk to you, man. That's my issue. If we're going to keep him, we have to use him. If we're not going to use him and there is value for him, the Celtics are interested in him. The Bulls have mentioned some interest. Portland has been tied to him. The Spurs obviously was until obviously this Murray trade happened today. I mean, there's a market for John Collins. And right now, since they have their backcourt solidified and they know where they want their front court to go with Okongwu, now you have to make a decision about, I mean, you have your wings, you have Hunter, you have Herter as of right now, you draft A.J. Griffin, you have Jalen Johnson.
Ooh, that's a lot of talent.
That's a lot of talent, but now you got to make a decision on your front court.
Yeah.
Who's going to leave? Is it going to be Capella, who took a step back with that Achilles injury last year, but still had to finish strong until obviously he got hurt in the play-in? Are you going to trade the reportedly disgruntled John Collins? That is the questions that need to be answered. It doesn't have to be answered as fast, but I think the Hawks are still definitely fielding phone calls, especially for John Collins, as their desire is to move him this summer.
Right, right. That's crazy. And I'm sure you're going to get a great fit back. You know, this team is going to be scary. Like you said, the future is bright, but also the right now is bright. So I can't wait to see what you guys are going to do next. Are you going to keep the coach? Is he going to last throughout the season? We don't know. But is there anything you want to say before we get out of here on this great episode? I appreciate you having me on again, too.
Oh, man, I appreciate being on. I mean, like I said, it was a no-brainer. When you reached out, I said, I got to record tonight anyway. Might as well do it with a friend, a great friend of the program, and Will. So I say it was a no-brainer for me. But I would just say continue to – John Collins' watch is still in effect. So definitely keep an eye out there if you're a Hawks supporter or if you're a team interested in John Collins' services. Still be on the lookout. I think that's still going to be there. And for Hawks fans in particular, We just lost our top assistant coach. Assistant coach shopping is going to be pretty prevalent this offseason. So that's something that we're going to continue to monitor here at Sports Ethos Atlanta Hawks, and you should too as Hawks fans.
There you go. There you have it. I'd like to thank you once again, Brad Harden / Brad Jarrett. Follow him on Twitter at BradJarrett67. Great follow, great content with the Hawks, especially if you love the Hawks. Check them out and check out Sports Eat Those Hawks. And I appreciate you so much for being on, Brad. Like my show, like his show, rate, subscribe, review, all that good stuff, and stay on the lookout for what the Hawks could be doing next. And we're out of here. Until next time, peace.